A 1.5 billion Amazon air hub rises from Kentucky soil, positioned within a day's drive of 65% of America. This monument to efficiency represents more than logistics. It embodies a cultural religion. We've become devotees of optimization, worshiping at the altar of faster, cheaper, better. But what began as mathematical technique has metastasized into something far more consuming. From Dakota sugar beet fields to Texas oil rigs, the pursuit of optimal has reshaped not just our economy, but our very way of seeing the world. The question isn't whether optimization works, it demonstrably does, but whether we've sacrificed something irreplaceable in our quest for perfection. Optimization traces back to the Latin optimus, the best, but its modern incarnation emerged through Voltaire's 1759 satire, Candide, through Professor Pangloss, who insists we live in the best of all possible worlds, even as disasters pile up, Voltaire mocked philosopher Leibniz's optimism. Yet while Voltaire satirized retrospective justification, modern optimization looks forward, imagining every possible future to engineer the best one. Consider a lemonade stand. What makes the best lemonade? You define your objective, identify parameters like available ingredients, and work within constraints like budget and customer taste. This framework, objective, parameters, constraints, now governs everything from crop yields to dating apps. Norman Borlaug's Green Revolution exemplifies optimization's power. His disease-resistant dwarf wheat varieties increased productivity several-fold and reportedly saved a billion lives. His approach fundamentally altered our worldview. We began breaking everything into specialized components, shifting from observation to control, assuming technology could solve anything. Perpetual growth became not just desirable, but inevitable. Despite saving billions from starvation, the Green Revolution carried hidden costs. In North Dakota's Red River Valley, traditional four-crop rotations gave way to monocropping, triggering an arms race with weeds. Farms consolidated dramatically as new technologies allowed fewer farmers to manage exponentially more land. The directive was stark: get big or get out. Farmers shifted from working soil to managing futures contracts. Traditional knowledge about soil health vanished, replaced by standardized industrial practices. The Midwest has lost over 50 billion tons of topsoil since cultivation began. Fertilizer runoff creates dead zones in the Gulf of Mexico spanning thousands of square miles. As food prices dropped to a third of what they were a century earlier, sugar infiltrated everything. Mid-Victorian Britain, despite limited medical knowledge, maintained remarkable health through diverse seasonal diets. Industrialization eventually undermined those gains. These transformations reveal optimization's hidden costs: slack, essential redundancy cushioning systems against shocks; place, specific knowledge connecting farmers to land through generations; and scale, vital connection between part and whole. In a single century, American farmers traded richness for yield, diversity for standardization, resilience for efficiency. Our optimization journey required three conceptual shifts. First came atomization, breaking reality into measurable units. Newton's calculus divided continuous phenomena into infinitesimal slices. Adam Smith's pin factory showed how dividing labor into 18 operations dramatically boosted productivity. Ford's assembly line reduced automobile production time eightfold through interchangeable parts and continuous flow. Las Vegas epitomizes this. Everything from cards to labor breaks into discrete, measurable components. Second came increasing abstraction, creating complex models divorced from reality. Modern abstractions emphasize prediction through multiple layers of complexity. These abstractions, from climate forecasts to credit default swaps, replace direct observation with pattern recognition, distancing us from what we're modeling. Third came automation, first material, then digital. While factory robots build cars deterministically, modern algorithms operate probabilistically at massive scale. A news recommendation system generates 10 billion recommendations with barely more computing power than 10. We've disconnected from our technological systems' pace, place, and effects, exemplified by drone strikes controlled like video games from distant chambers. February 2021, the polar vortex hits Texas, bringing record cold. As households crank up heat, the electric grid collapses. Natural gas pipelines freeze, windmills stop turning. Nearly 5 million lose power. Electricity prices skyrocket from $30 to $9,000 per megawatt hour. Systemic collapses follow Ernest Hemingway's description of bankruptcy, first gradually, then suddenly. The 2008 financial crisis exemplified this. Years of risky mortgage lending accumulated until sudden collapse triggered global meltdown. California's mega fires emerged from decades of suppressing natural burns while allowing development in fire-prone areas. The era of optimization is entering decline. Breakdowns appear first at edges, small failures and lags, before suddenly engulfing entire systems. The pandemic exposed how just-in-time inventory left no margin for error. William Stanley Jevons revealed a paradox. As resource extraction becomes more efficient, demand increases rather than decreases. Similarly, better local optimization breeds greater reliance and less questioning. The Ever Given blocking the Suez Canal for 6 days disrupted 12% of global trade. Each case demonstrates how optimization eliminates the redundancy that provides resilience during crises. Islands reveal optimization's double edge. In 1918, Western Samoa lost nearly a quarter of its population to Spanish flu after an infected ship arrived. Neighboring American Samoa suffered no losses through strict quarantine. Western Samoa's trade hub status, its former isolation, transformed into vulnerability. American Samoa, with less trade, could afford offshore quarantine. Like Magritte's painting of a pipe, captioned, "This is not a pipe," optimization deceives us by mistaking models for reality. Economic projections, train schedules, school timetables aren't more true than alternatives, yet our bodies and habits shape around them. We mistake constructed systems for natural laws. Unwinding optimization has no recipe. In agriculture, if our industrial system isn't working, how would we determine the right farm size? Who would pay to replace $500,000 tractors? These aren't measurement questions, but value judgments about how many people should farm and how food should be distributed. Jason, a Shoshone biologist, manages his tribe's bison restoration project in Wyoming. Where 70 million bison once roamed North America, Western settlers reduced them to hundreds. Jason envisions restoring entire ecosystems through decolonization of land, reintroducing native plants, restoring natural water flows, rebuilding soil health. Unlike optimization with its clear formulas, this involves complex webs of interconnected changes that resist simple metrics. America feels a growing malaise. Optimization's gifts haven't delivered fulfillment. We face two impulses: intensify efficiency or escape it entirely. Both trap us by making optimization either entrenched or the thing we're fleeing from. Jane Jacobs observed that vigorous cultures balance redundancies and insularity. Innovation incubates in tight circles while connecting to broader productive capacity. Railroad tycoon James Jerome Hill warned in 1910 that America had reached physical limits, anticipating resource depletion. Economist Tyler Cowen echoes this, calling recent decades the Great Stagnation. We've picked the low-hanging fruit. Today's yearnings for tangible experiences, slower rhythms, and local connection attempt to reclaim what optimization costs us. We can't solve these shortcomings within optimization's own framework. The remedy isn't doubling down or escaping, but choosing how to see. We must select work beyond seeking the best. Commit to beliefs defying calculated utility, and view the world as less controllable, yet more worthy of reverence. In a world drunk on efficiency, the most radical act is choosing presence over productivity, connection over control, enough over optimal.